Well, this morning we have the privilege of celebrating the Holy Sacrament of Baptism. Little Benjamin Derek Vandermeulen. I want to read a couple question and answers from the Heidelberg. Question and answer 69, 72, and 74. You can find these in the back of your hymnal on page 883 and 884. Question and answer 69 and 70. I'll read them. Just encourage you to follow along. How does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing and with it promised that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven our sins because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed and sanctified us to be members of Christ so that more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. And turn over to page 884. I'm going to read question and answer 72. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all our sins. And then question and answer 74. Should infants also be baptized? Yes. Infants, as well as adults, are included in God's covenant and people. And they, no less than adults, are promised deliverance from sin through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who works faith. Therefore, by baptism, the sign of the covenant, they too should be incorporated into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. Now, I want to briefly touch on two important points from these catechism questions and answers. What is Christian baptism and just who should be baptized? So bear with me as I try to tackle these two with a measure of brevity. First off, baptism fundamentally is a sign of being united to Christ, of being one with Christ. It's a sign of our participation in his death, burial, and resurrection. As one writer, I think, helpfully put it, it's a visible sign that we live with Christ, we're built on Christ the rock, we're rooted in Christ the vine, and we share his status and privileges. We enjoy his inheritance. But especially, the baptismal waters point to the washing away of our sin. And the Heidelberger captures this wonderfully. As surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. That is all my sins. And that way, you see, the biblical language of baptism is as close as possible to what it represents. Water washes away dirt. Christ's blood washes away our sin. But the catechism keeps us from plummeting into error by reminding us that the sign and seal is not the reality of the promise. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all our sins. Now, it's important that we don't slip into one of two errors when we think about baptism, particularly infant baptism. And Calvin described those errors as magic and mirage. What happens in a sacrament is not a mirage. That is, it's not a pretend blessing. Baptism is a sacrament. It is a means of grace. But neither is it magic. Baptism doesn't convey regeneration, and it doesn't presume it. Baptism is a pledge to the recipient that in Christ they're forgiven and renewed. And that brings us to the second issue. Who should receive this pledge? Or more specifically, who should be baptized? And the Catechism is reflecting what historic Reformed and Presbyterians have held, that infants as well as adults are included in God's covenant and people. That is, the sign of the covenant of grace belongs to those who have made a profession of faith and to their children. And of course, this is where we disagree with our Baptist brothers and sisters. B.B. Warfield, the great Princeton theologian, gave the rationale of why we baptize infants as well as anyone with these words. Warfield wrote, "The argument in a nutshell is simply this. God established his church in the days of Abraham and put children into it. They must remain there until he puts them out. He's nowhere put them out. They're still then members of his church and as such entitled to this ordinance." Of course, here's what Warfield is saying. When God established the covenant of grace with Abraham, he was given the sign of the covenant, circumcision, and it was to be placed on every male child that Abraham had in his family. It was a visible sign and seal that all of his descendants were included in the visible covenant community. And when the covenant of grace was administered throughout the Old Testament, that was true. It was for all of the little ones. And as the covenant of grace moved into the New Testament, the sign of circumcision was replaced with baptism. And there's simply no biblical evidence that it became null and void. The sign is for believers and their children. And it's not because we know that children will necessarily eventually have saving faith. We don't know that. Abraham didn't know that. And as it turned out, one son, Isaac, believed and the other, Ishmael, didn't. But they were both to receive the sign because God said, "Put that sign on your male descendants." A Scottish theologian by the name of Dr. Donald MacLeod gives us some very helpful remarks and begins with a question. Why do I baptize children? Is it because I believe that the infants of all believing parents are elect? No. Is it because I believe that the infants of believing parents will all one day be born again? No. It is because God gave me an ordinance, put the sign of the spiritual covenant on the physical seed. At the very beginning of this arrangement, God put Ishmael and Esau there to remind us that we were not to do this on the ground, that we knew theologically how things worked out. We were to do it because God said it. In the cases of Ishmael and Esau, it seemed not to work. It wasn't related to any rationale of its effectiveness. It was done and is still to be done on the ground that God said, "Put the sign of my promise, not only on yourselves, but also on your children." This morning we have the great joy of putting the sign of God's promise on little Benjamin Derek Vandermeulen. My virtue of being a child of believing parents, Benjamin will be baptized into the visible covenant community, the church. Well, let me invite Grace and Micah to come up. I have three questions for them and then a question for the congregation. To Grace and Micah, do you acknowledge Benjamin's need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit? Do you claim God's covenant promises in his behalf? And do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation as you do for your own? And do you now undeservedly offer Benjamin to God and promise in humble reliance upon divine grace that you will endeavor to set before him a godly example, that you'll pray with and for him, that you'll teach him the doctrines of our holy religion, and that you will strive by all the means of God's appointment to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? How do you answer? And this is to the congregation, dear people of God. And this question I'm about to ask you, we're asking before God and before the witnesses here. So don't answer it if you don't believe it. If you do believe and accept this, respond, we do, God helping us. Do you, as God's people, undertake the responsibility of assisting the appearance in every way possible and raising this child to be a Christian? Amen. Brothers and sisters, in many ways, what baptism is a naming ceremony. And that's what we're doing now. We're putting the name of God on this little one. So Benjamin Vandermeulen, I baptize you in the name of the Father. Oh my goodness. And the Son. And the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Our great God in heaven, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for this holy ordinance. We thank you for your goodness to your covenant promises. We thank you, O God, that less than a year ago, this little one was conceived in Grace's womb. And even then, you knew him. You knew little Benjamin by name. And when he was born, this dear man and woman put the name Benjamin upon him as a family name. And here this morning we've put your name upon him, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, for him. We pray for your blessing upon him. We pray in due time that all of these covenant promises would come to a saving faith in Jesus. And again, we bless your name for your faithfulness. Amen. Hey, buddy.